Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. As always, going to be a fun day today. Don't forget, in the noon o'clock hour, we will be giving away tickets to go see Pitbull. But
I don't know about you, but I feel good.
Fireball.
I think those should be in our promo. And so to start things out, have the Mavs, and perhaps the Bucks before them, shown that you, in fact, do not need a super team to win? And I know that sounds odd, like in the pantheon of the NBA.
Yeah.
Is usually you would like draft, develop, blah, 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 blah. But then there was like a good 6 to 7 year run where everyone was arming up and they're like super team, super team, super team, whether or not you think it started with Boston, with the decision, with whatever. But it was like super team or bust. Have you started to see the pushback to that?
Well, we're just in a small window here. This is windows. Another super team's going to happen. Don't think that that's never going to happen.
It's probably going to be the Mavericks.
With AAU basketball, whoa. That's my issue, though, is with AAU basketball and Luka not being part of AAU basketball, that changes things a little bit. I mean, these guys, Chris, like Ja Morant and Zion, I'm not saying they're teaming up, but you know they played high school basketball. They traveled around the country. Like
right.
All of these guys travel around the country that are these top 10 picks from about 12 years old to 18 years old. They travel around the country. They're playing against each other. And then sometimes they're like, hey, let's team up next summer or let's team up next tournament and let's all play together. So Luka wasn't part of that, never was part of that. So it is a little bit tougher, I think, for guys like the Greek Freak, for Jokic, for Luka, to put together the super team because they're not American and didn't play AAU basketball. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I do think that right now a team like Luka's team, I think even the Greek Freak last year, he does have another all-star. He does have a top 25 player when healthy, Chris Middleton. But I do think it's going to happen again. But we are in a time right now that you can win a little bit, maybe more old-fashioned. That being said, when you read the book, The Lakers Showtime, they had a super team. Now, it wasn't put together the way LeBron's was, but you had Kareem there. Then all of a sudden, they magically get the first pick and get Magic
right.
Johnson. Then a few years later, they magically get the first pick and get James Worthy. They magically get the fourth pick overall and get Byron Scott. Like, they're winning championships,
reason,
but it was kind of through the draft.
When you drafted them.
Like the Cleveland Cavaliers and Utah Jazz were really screwing over the NBA by making horrible trades in the 70s and 80s and giving the Lakers all the top picks. And honestly, Boston kind of had a similar thing there. They had five, in 1986, they had four Hall of Famers starting and one coming off the bench in Bill Walton.
Like, yeah.
I mean, super teams have kind of been a part of the NBA, and when you create one, you create a dynasty, and very few teams win a championship because of it. Now, it can be created a different way. San Antonio, I mean, hey, San Antonio, I hate to tell you this, but you're never creating a super team through free agency. You're going to have to draft David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili, and then add role players. They're not coming to San Antonio, just like they're not coming to Dallas. But I do think right now you can win a championship without it being that super team deal, but I do think eventually that guys are going to team up again and it's going to work, right? We had one in Harden, Kyrie, and Durant. It just didn't work.
And that was kind of what led to my curiosity as well, is because the super team right before that was the Lakers, and they won a championship. And then the Nets, Everybody thought they were going to win, and that has failed spectacularly. Yeah. Like, it has gone down.
The Lakers are failing right now, yeah, trying to create the Westbrook.
Yeah, but at least, like, you can claim with the Lakers, you're like, hey, we did get a title. And so right. That's why I'm fascinated by it, because I would not view the Bucks by any means as a super team because right. of the draft. I would not currently view the Mavericks by any
Toronto
stretch.
Toronto wasn't a super team.
Yeah, and like, so that's why I wonder is, do you look at some of the pushback in the smaller sample size and say, hey, maybe this is a path to greatness? Or do you think the Mavericks will eventually lose and not win the title, and then they'll go gear up and they will have a super team? And we'll all be like, well, that's okay because it's our super team.
You have to have a superstar, though.
For sure.
Like, yes. I don't think
team in the history of the NBA has won a championship without a superstar.
Yeah.
Maybe best case scenario is the Detroit Pistons with Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace.
I might concede that.
That's the
yeah.
only time in the history of my life that a top five team, like a team without a top five player in the NBA, won a championship.
We go back to the Bucks last year. Drew Holiday's a really good player, right? But right. he was not a superstar.
Right.
Chris Middleton, all have a ton of respect. I think we saw the impact on that team this year, but not a superstar. Yeah. But Giannis grew into a superstar.
Sure.
Luka has, I think, finally set himself on that stage of being a superstar. While we knew what we had,
yeah,
I think there was a country out there and a lot of other people waiting for the moment. And I think you got that moment on Sunday where he finally vaulted himself into that stratosphere. And so while I think the rest of the guys around him, none of them are even stars. Jalen Brunson's not a star.
No.
Dinwiddie's not a star.
No.
Really, what was the thing we went through where we went, oh, yeah, they're really good role players yeah. that can do things on their own. Their skill set is broad. It's very good. But, Kevin, do you think that Nico's going to see another potential star out there available and not try to pursue him?
That's
what the NBA will. GMs will try to go find those people and add them to the roster.
I totally get what you're saying.
Especially if you fall short.
Okay.
If you win, it's different.
And that's why I'm slightly conflicted in the moment, is because, like, I get it. If you're like, hey, we finagled a way to get DeAndre Ayton here, then I'm like, oh, great, let's do that.
How weird would that be?
That would be so weird.
I don't think Phoenix would want that to happen.
No, for sure. That would be so weird. But then I also keep thinking, what if you just win two more series? If you're the Mavericks, I can see how you'd be like, hey, stay the course. Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, historically, the last time we won a championship, we're like, the hell with this. Let's just blow up the whole damn team.
Right.
So maybe the precedent is we do win the championship, and then we're like, what we need to do is sign and trade Brunson, and we need to do all this.
Lock the door whenever Mark Cuban's walking down the hallway going, guys, I just finished reading. Everything's going to be fine. We're blowing the team up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
I guess the other part of it is, do you have to have an all-star or a superstar that's kind of a psychopath at the same time? Because, like, that's what Luka, he really is that kind of a person, right? Where he has this mentality, very Jordan-esque, of I'm thinking about is how I'm going to beat you. And that mentality, Kobe was that way, right? He outworked everybody, but he was always thinking about how to beat you. Those guys, LeBron, maybe he did it in a different way, but that's what he's always trying to figure out, is how to get that. He's just trying to do it with the best talent around him, because it's kind of fun to play with the best talent around you, right? Like, it's not really fun to play with a bunch of bums, even if I'm good enough to drag them to the finals, but I'd rather play with a bunch of fun, good guys.
I mean, you just described the AAU template right there. It's like, oh, do we have the best constructed team? Maybe. Or do we have the best constructed talent? Yes, let's do that.
But I do think in, you know, today's NBA, and especially with a player like Luka, and I always wonder if Harden could have done it a little differently, but having guys with skill sets that are kind of similar to what the Mavs are doing, good and all committed on the defensive end,
yeah,
and then having a coach that's willing to, you know, really understand the players and make those adjustments and listen to his coaching staff. All of what the Mavericks are doing right now, that's showing to be a very good model for potentially the future if you can draft that superstar like Luka.
So here's what's tough about creating a super team too. When you watch whatever it was, the 30 for 30 on Penny Hardaway and Shaquille
yeah.
O'Neal, when you hear Jason Tatum talk, when you hear what I think is happening with DeAndre Ayton, DeAndre Ayton's like, screw this, I want to be the star on the team. I don't care if we win a championship right now. I want to prove to everybody I can lead a team to the playoffs. I can be the number one guy. That's what Penny and Shaq fought over. That's what a lot of, even Pippen, it seems like in some of the stuff is like, man, I just wish I could have been the best player on the team for a little bit. Like, I won my championships. I wanted to be the main guy on the team. That's why that Tony Kukoc play upset him so much, I think. Is like, I want to be the guy, and everybody recognizes me as the guy. And so with Luka, you're not going to be the guy. So I almost feel like if we're going to get somewhat of a super team or another like perennial all-star here, it has to be a guy that has failed in the playoffs and desperately wants a championship and now knows I can't do it on my own. I can't do it as the main guy. I'm willing to be the second guy on a championship team. And I do think that is, you really have to check your ego to be that guy. And I don't, you know, who is that guy? I think it has to be a guy that's probably 30 years old or older, that's like right at the end of his prime, didn't win his first 10 years in the NBA, and is willing to be the second guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who that is, and this may be related, it may not be related. I know a lot of fans would not like him, but the question that's been on my mind kind of when you're picturing those people is James Harden's run as an elite player over?
Oh my God, don't, please don't bring. Yeah,
yeah, but he'll never admit
but
it.
But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not advocating, but just when you describe that, like that's who started to come into focus, and I was just curious, is his run as an elite player over? Because it would seem yes, but you just made an intriguing point. He'll never admit it.
It actually is really interesting too, Mike, because he didn't want the ball. He seemed like he was afraid to.
Never, and it's literally in his whole career, even on Houston, that was an issue in closeout games, like as in do or die, like you're down 3-2. Like he's like, I don't want the ball anymore. He's like, wait a second. You control the ball 100% of the time in every game. As soon as we get into like the most pressure situations, you don't want the ball anymore. And you're just going to pass it and not try to create. And it's the weirdest thing that he's like, I don't want the responsibility of winning or losing in the most crucial situations of a season.
And then he was, and his turnover, he did look clunky. Like he watching James Harden, he does not look this like the smooth player we've seen for so many years.
Sure.
And a lot of things have taken their toll on him. So I can completely understand that. But yeah, I think his time is done at this point.
Well, a bunch of people lit up on the fan text and they said the person that you're describing to a T is Chris Paul.
No.
Not to a T.
No,
is
no.
Chris Paul.
No, he's not.
Because a little bit.
Because he's not. He's willing to be there, but he also is going to try. His persona just attracts. I'm a leader. Like that's just who he is, and he's going to try to be that guy all the time and rally the troops and everything. When that's not necessarily his job. His job is just to physically be there and do his thing. And I don't. Chris Paul's not that guy for this team. For me, I wouldn't want to put him on this.
It's
team.
Tough you out
for
too? Me.
It's well, he has a 3-year, $90 million contract.
No, like. I totally get that. Just when we're describing those type of players, whenever you were talking
I think he's
about
too headstrong for, it,
I
still.
Would like more of a, and this doesn't fit the type. I would like a more of a Jaylen Brown, a great wing defender, scorer who can take the ball, take pressure off, like. A Spencer Dinwiddie, but an all-star Spencer Dinwiddie. And nothing, like, hey, I'm hoping Dinwiddie stays hot. Like, game 6 and 7 got him back into what I call March Dinwiddie. Because Spencer Dinwiddie in March was
a revelation,
spectacular,
yeah.
Right? Spencer Dinwiddie in the playoffs has been like, dang it, what's wrong with Spencer Dinwiddie? I loved that Nico said the other day, I don't know if we have the cut or not, when he was like, Jared Dudley, one of the assistant coaches, like, look, just be aggressive. It can't get any worse. Like I love that. That happens in professional sports. Yeah. Like sometimes you're like, God, every time I do this or do that. Well, look, why don't you just be more aggressive? It can't get worse than what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to squeeze Dinwiddie and Dorian together and get that kind of a player right there. When you describe the mentality of the player, the commitment to the team part of it, and then the skill set that goes along with it, that's Jaylen Brown. I don't think Damian Lillard's the dude that's going to be
even
that
like
kind of guy.
Even like Chris Middleton, and I know he's not a star, but he is an all-star. Like those type of guys.
Take him at a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And but, you're an Aggie too. So.
Well, I mean, that is
God,
true,
you love Aggie
but
players
I'm
so much.
I'm more concerned.
You still want AC Law here, right?
And yeah. Alex Caruso.
God,
and,
I mean,
yeah.
So many times. I'm like, look, AC Law was 15 years ago. I get he's from the Metroplex, I believe Kimball, but I'm like, give it up. AC Law's not going to come back.
You make some really fine points. But the thing is like even with all of these theoretical shortcomings on the Mavericks, and I see people bringing up Zach LaVine, and Lord knows, Mike has been trying to make that trade for like 2 months. You're still in the Western Conference Finals. Like, you are still on the verge.
I think this is why we've shocked the NBA. They're like, oh, crap. We thought they were still two or three moves away from being in a situation like this. And I think Nico's going to work very hard to make a couple of tweaks to this team. In fact, you know, and I keep referring back to the book Showtime, but it is a great book. And Jerry West, obviously they portray him as a psycho. He's nothing like that in the book. He's always, even after they win the championship, they're like, he would smile for a second. And then 4 seconds later, he was to work going, okay, I know we won the championship, but we need to tweak this off of our bench. We maybe starting lineup. Should Kurt Rambis be out of the starting lineup? Should we be looking for something? You know, that's how he found AC Green, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you're always, even though you have a championship contender or a championship team, you know, Nico's responsibility is, I don't need to make massive changes to this team. I just need to make a few tweaks, probably to the center position, maybe a little bit more depth on your bench where you feel like you have a solid 8-man rotation instead of a 7-man rotation.
And that's one of the things yesterday when he talked about going out to Chicago for the pre-draft workouts and everything like that. That is not just a look at those players on the court. Like, there are a lot of other people out there. Right. And like,
He wants to look at players off the court?
Well,
you start getting feelers on who's available for trade.
Exactly.
So this is the winter meetings.
You talk to agents out there, right? Because all the agents have players in Chicago that they're hoping to get drafted.
Yeah, they're like, what do you think about Mark Williams? Yeah, that's great. Also, what about, and like you start asking about some of their
Winston
veteran.
Winston Kreit.
Yeah.
1983-87 A&M player.
Last offseason, one of the greatest acquisitions was, I believe, Cleveland acquired Chicago.
Yes.
And look.
That was off air.
They ended up making the playoffs. Had a really good rookie in Mobley.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were
They got Deshaun Watson to them.
We're conflating
Bernard King.
We're conflating some of these things.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.